morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about bison restoration, trespassing on the cone of Old Faithful Geyser, and what's delaying an $80 million infrastructure package. It's Friday, January 10th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks this week released a document nearly 8 years in the making that outlines how bison could be restored in the state as publicly managed wildlife. Rachel Kramer reports.
Greg Lemon with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says the Bison Conservation and Management Plan focuses on the potential of new conservation bison herds in the state. He says it does not include bison that migrate out of Yellowstone National Park, which are managed by the Interagency Bison Management Plan. Neither does FWP's document identify where bison restoration should happen.
We don't have specific projects in mind. It just identifies a process for that to happen should, somebody or a group of people or a, entity or agency or nonprofit want to go to that effort.
He says projects can be proposed for public, private, or tribal land or on large landscapes where there are minimal conflicts with livestock. To be approved, Lemon says the projects will need to comply with state and tribal laws. Any concrete proposal for bison restoration will have to undergo a site-specific environmental analysis and include a public review process. FWP's press release says it started a public scoping process in 2012 with a group of stakeholders and finalized a draft of the guiding document in 2015. Five public hearings and a 90-day comment period followed. Lemon says the livestock industry, which has largely opposed bison restoration in the past over concerns that bison could spread a bacterial disease to cattle, had a seat at the table.
Bison have proven to be a very controversial topic for Montana. But because they're controversial doesn't mean that FWP doesn't have a responsibility to see this effort through.
In a statement, Shammy Anderson with the advocacy group Defenders of Wildlife said it's encouraging that Montana will now officially restore wild bison to the state, but unfortunate that FWP did not offer any specific sites where bison can return. She said Defenders of Wildlife will advocate and help develop proposals for wild bison restoration in the Badger II Medicine Chief Mountain areas of the Helena Lewis and Clark National Forest and the Charles M. Russell National Wildlife Refuge southwest of Glasgow. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Malmstrom Air Force Base has suspended its Trusted Traveler program days after Iran launched missiles at Iraqi bases housing U.S. forces. As of yesterday, the base in Great Falls, Montana, will require a Department of Defense ID or valid photo ID with an approved Malmstrom base pass from anyone seeking to enter the base by vehicle. People without eligible identification will need to pass a background check to receive a visitor's pass. Anyone without a valid form of ID or with a questionable criminal record will be denied access. Malmstrom says people should expect increased wait times at the visitor control center and should plan for additional traffic at entrance gates. A press release announcing the change did not indicate what spurred it. Candidate filing for the 2020 election in Montana is underway. The two-month filing period began 8 a.m. yesterday and continues through 5 p.m. on March 9th. Democratic Representative Mary Ann Dunwell of Helena was first in line at the Secretary of State's office. Candidates can also file online. Candidate filing for positions such as County Commissioner and Justice of the Peace also began yesterday at county election departments. Montana's primary election is June 2nd. Two men pleaded guilty in December to trespassing on the cone of Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park. Rachel Kramer reports.
According to a Yellowstone National Park announcement Thursday, 20-year-old Eric Shefflin of Colorado and 25-year-old Ryan Goetz of New York were each sentenced to 10 days of incarceration, $540 in restitution, 5 years of unsupervised probation, and 5-year bans from the park on December 5th at the Yellowstone Justice Center in Mammoth Hot Springs. Employees and visitors witnessed Shefflin and Goetz walking on the cone of Old Faithful in September and reported it to Park Dispatch. A ranger then contacted arrested and cited the two men for thermal trespass violations. Park officials say the ground in hydrothermal areas is fragile and thin, with scalding water just below the surface. Walking on it can damage the thermal feature and is very dangerous as well as illegal. They say visitors must always remain on boardwalks and exercise extreme caution. Linda Varese, a Yellowstone spokesperson, said in an email that thermal trespass happens more often than park officials know, and that visitors are encouraged to report it to rangers as soon as possible. She said individuals in a separate incident were cited for thermal trespass on December 27th. Last September, a man suffered severe burns to a significant portion of his body after falling into thermal water near the Cone of Old Faithful Geyser. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The state of Montana has made more payments to ranchers for livestock killed by predators in 2019 than any previous year. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reported the Montana Livestock Loss Board has paid ranchers more than $247,000. The claims were made on more than 360 animals killed by mountain lions, grizzly bears, or wolves. The board says 2019 was the third consecutive year a new record was set for the payouts. Madison County has the most losses with 44 animals killed. Board Executive Director George Edwards says the number of losses to grizzly bears almost doubled the losses to wolves. Governor Steve Bullock's administration says an $80 million infrastructure package is facing an unacceptable delay after passage during last year's legislative session. The bipartisan spending deal on public works is hung up after an audit questioning state finances and Medicaid spending. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Administration officials in a press conference Wednesday said bonding dollars to fund local water and sewer projects, money to renovate a building at Montana State University, and to build the Butte Silver Bow County Armory is on hold because of an audit of the state health department. That review comes from the Legislative Audit Division, which reports to lawmakers and is not under the control of the governor's office.
The Leg Audit Division is preventing us from moving forward on selling these bonds.
That's Rafe Graybill, chief legal counsel in the governor's office. The division's full report is not yet public, but according to the governor's office, it says the state may owe up to $130 million because of errors in the state's calculation of people eligible for Medicaid. The governor's office rejects those findings. Graybill says usual underpayments or overpayments based on Medicaid enrollments range from $6,000 to $160,000.
The state won't recognize what we believe to be essentially a fictional liability associated with the Medicaid program.
Disagreement over the financial liability and how many people are eligible for Montana's health care program for low-income people has stalled the state's sale of bonds to fund infrastructure projects. That's because the federal government pays a majority of the costs of Medicaid. Changing the number of people qualified for the program could reduce federal money coming into the state to pay for it and raises the state's liability. Audit Division staff told the governor's office in a letter earlier this month that in their review of the Medicaid system, quote, "we are dealing with an unprecedented level of questioned costs," unquote. The government agency's disagreement on the state's financial risks and how to notify potential investors for state bonds prevents the bond sales from moving forward. The state had planned to start selling bonds in November. Angus McIver, head of the Legislative Audit Division, says the agency does not comment on audits that are not yet public. Core to this disagreement is the method used by the Legislative Audit Division for calculating the number of people eligible for Medicaid in Montana. Governor's Office Budget Director Tom Livers.
They're using criteria that are grossly oversimplified and have known limitations. It doesn't stand up in robustness next to the existing eligibility system used by the department.
The governor's office says the audit division looked at 63 of the 275,000 people enrolled in Medicaid to determine eligibility. Livers says the audit division used its own methods for determining Medicaid eligibility instead of using the system developed according to federal guidelines, which has a track record of creating results with less than 0.5% error. Livers says the audit division found a 50% error rate. The governor's office says delaying the sale of bonds means the state could see higher costs for proposed infrastructure work. Director Livers says delaying could mean the state misses the 2020 construction season. The infrastructure bonding package tied up in this disagreement was regarded by many lawmakers as a major success during the 2019 legislative session. There was previously a more than decade-long stalemate over using bonds to pay for public work projects. Legislative leaders say lawmakers will look into this issue when they gather next week to study trends in government and state budgeting. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.